This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Bet and Breakfast, a podcast from BetSided.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
It's sports betting for everyone.
I'm here to tell you today that the New York Yankees season is done. Stick a fork in them. It's over.
Lamar Jackson, I can't believe he's that low on the list that he's my bet for sure at this point in the season.
Early leans, best bets, props, parlays. If you can bet it, we've got it.
I'm taking the over on this. If you look at the last five games, this is a game waiting for points to be scored.
Tom Brady, I think everyone's heard of him. If Brady puts up the numbers, they have the 10th easiest schedule the rest of the way.
Get in, get out, and you're ready to go.
I think they're going to have to give him the award if Dallas ends up locking up this division and possibly even that number one seed.
And here are your hosts, Ben Heisler, Ian McMillan, Peter Dewey, Donovan Smoot, and Reed Wallach.
What comes before anything? What have we always said is the most important thing?
Breakfast.
Family.
I thought you meant the things you need.
What is up, everybody? Bet and Breakfast on a Monday morning. We're live 7 a.m. with my guy, Donovan Smoot. I'm Peter Dewey. Got a jam-packed show for you guys today. Big All-Star weekend in the NBA. One of the best weekends of the year just passed. So, Donovan, got to ask you, early impressions, what do we like from this weekend? Three-point contest, NBA dunk contest, whatever you got. What was your favorite part of this weekend?
So, to be honest, the skills challenge was actually, like, it went a little long, but it was actually, like, refreshing because I wasn't a fan of, like, the old, of the style that the NBA had went to where they have people going against each other because as it felt so short and every single race, no matter if somebody hit like a half court shot to win the race, it always felt anticlimactic. So I kind of like the new format. I'd have to say like the game was actually really good. It was really close the entire time. But I think you're going to feel the same way. That was the worst dunk contest I've ever seen in my life. And we've seen a Jeremy Evans dunk contest. Like Jeremy Evans win a dunk contest. And that what we saw on Saturday night was trash.
Yeah, it was just weird, dude. Like they did, I can't like it. So many missed attempts that like weren't technically misses. Like it just felt like everybody was doing their dunk like seven times. Like you just watched them. Like you knew what they were trying to do. They couldn't either get the ball or get it off. And it's just like for me with dunk contests, like it's got to be like the flash, but you also need like it to kind of go quickly when you have it at the end of the night. And like, it just seemed to drag out and like it made the dunks. Like my thing with the dunk contest is I think you should be penalized if you don't make it on the first try, because like it just makes it, it takes the, like the shock factor away. Yes. Like if you watch the guy go up and he tries to do whatever it is, you know, an under the legs, 360, whatever it is. And you try it three times, like, you know, what's coming. So when you eventually get the dunk, it's like, yeah, it was cool. It was great. Like, these guys are insane athletes, but, like, it just didn't have any of the wow factor. Not having the star players hurts, too. But I thought my favorite part, honestly, I thought was the game, which I rarely ever say, I think.
Yeah.
The game was just fantastic. Like you said, it was fantastic. It was close the entire time. There were different guys going off. Like, Steph had 50, couldn't miss a three. Then you had, like, Embiid had a really good game. I think he finished with 36. LeBron hits the game winner, which is just like exactly what the NBA wants, like storybook him in Cleveland hitting the game winner. Like that was like the one of the most fun All-Star games. I think the NBA just has they do such a good job. Like you don't see the defense and stuff, but you can like showcase everybody's talent so well. It's really nice.
Yeah. But listen, it's a for full disclosure, right? I was keeping up with the game. I knew it was close the whole time, but Sundays have become euphoria day for me. And so I watched the first quarter and there was like 15 minutes and then I turned on euphoria. You know, shout out Zendaya, shout out Lexi. This episode was really, really good. And then I come back and so I was able to catch like the second half because they had the long second half. And so I tuned in just to see Steph go crazy. It's, you know, it sucks so much because and I love Steph. I knew he was going to sell down the stretch. I knew that he was not going to call game because he has that just, you know, that little bit of like not clutch in him to where, because if he should have, Steph should have had the record. He should have had 53 and like 17 threes and should have had the game-winning shot. And he just kept forcing and forcing and forcing, and he couldn't do it. And so LeBron had to go in and save him. And I knew that was going to happen. It sucks because I love Steph so much, but it was a really, really fun ending. I think like they have something with the Elam ending. And they need to keep it to the All-Star game, though. I remember after the first one, they were saying, like, oh, maybe we should implement this to, like, every game. No, like, keep this to the All-Star game. But it's still a really, really – it was a really, really great night, though, especially with the NBA 75.
Yeah, the NBA 75, the halftime show, was really cool to have, like, all those guys out there. I mean, it was insane to have that many, like, legends in the same place. It's, like, really, really cool to think about. But the thing I was thinking, good, staying on the point of the Elam ending, like, I don't think they should put it in regular season games, but I wonder, is it worth putting that in regular season overtime games? Like, do you throw that in instead of playing 5 minutes in overtime? It's like first to 10 points in overtime. And that's just how you do overtime. And that way you avoid double, triple overtime where these guys have to play 50 minutes, you know, potentially on the front end of a back-to-back in the middle of like January. Like, there's just no reason for that, I think. So I wonder if that's worth it, because it was fun last night. Like, you see the difference too. Like, we talk about like how all-star games, like in different sports, there's just nobody. Like baseball, they try, actually. I will give baseball that. But like the Pro Bowl's a joke. Like, nobody's trying. And rightfully so. You don't want any of those guys to get hurt. But like the cool thing about the NBA All-Star game is you get the three quarters of the showmanship, the jaw crazy dunks, the Steph shooting from 50 feet trying to make every shot. Then you get that last quarter, and it's like the greatest pickup game on earth. Yeah. Like, it's like we're playing a 21, and like who can get a stop? Like, it was unreal. Like, Giannis pinning Chris Middleton shot at the end of the game. Like, it was just like they went from like we're just joking around playing like shooting in the backyard to like, okay, let's get real. Like, next game, like who right, next to point? Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Like, I love it for the All-Star game for sure.
I've never thought about implementing it into overtime, and I love that idea. I think it would probably have to be like college, right? Because in my head, I still think that you should have like a time for maybe like the first overtime. So maybe it's like in college where once you get to a certain overtime, it's the Elam ending. And so, like, you can still have, like, a traditional overtime and still rock with that. But I really like the idea. That's actually really, really good.
I just think it makes sense for, like, what they talk about in terms of, like, trying to limit, you know, how much these, like, the player safety stuff. Like, trying to limit how many minutes these guys are really playing. Like, I just think, like, you watch double overtime games and it's horrible basketball. Like, it's horrible basketball because you've got guys playing 50-something minutes. Like, everybody's gassed. You miss a ton of shots. Like, the Knicks game in the first game of the season was terrible basketball. The season opener that went double overtime.
But don't say it wasn't exciting, though.
It was. I'll give you that.
It was exciting. And I think that – I don't know. It's – even though that LeBron gamed it and it was still, like, really, really good, I think that there's still something to having a buzzer beater and having, like, 3 seconds on the clock or 5 seconds, whatever, and having somebody knock it in with the time running down rather than, okay, we're just going to go until I make it. It's still something a little bit different and just like a little bit, you know, extra. But I think in the regular season, yeah, we can add that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it in the playoffs. I feel like the playoffs, you have to keep it time. But like regular season, I think it could be worth it. Sticking with All-Star Weekend, anything you would change? Obviously, we talked the dunk contest is just – it's dying, man. They need better players to start doing it. But anything you would change, you have, like, any thoughts on what they can make it better?
So I've outside of the dunk contest, one, I would actually think about putting the three-point contest last now. I think it's about time to do that. Especially with the state of the dunk contest, I would do that. I like the new format of the skills challenge. I would bring back the shooting stars challenge.
I would
bring back the shooting stars challenge, and I would try to make the skills challenge a little bit shorter because it dragged on, and maybe it dragged on because they had that awful promo for the Curry's new show. And that just, that didn't need to happen. And they, as much as I like am a fan of them, they were rightfully booed. That promo was awful. 2 Chainz didn't need to be up. 2 Chainz, you know, he didn't say a word while he was there, right?
Yeah.
Like when he was on stage, he was just 2 Chainz, and they would, the only reason he was up there was because people knew who he was, and they were trying to plug the show. So I would say never to do that again. But
agreed.
But those will kind of be my two things, especially with the 3-point contest being last now.
Yeah, I think the 3-point contest, I mean, I can't believe Cat won. Like, he was plus 1,500, I think, at WinBet. He was, like, the lowest on odds list, and he won. I think it just gives you the most intrigue. And, like, it is really – the 3-point contest is really, really exciting, especially with the way the game's gone, where that's, like, the most important part, or you have to have guys who can hit the three. But I agree. I think the dunk contest I think you have to make it earlier just because – if it's going to end like that, like it was, they said to Toppin, which I thought was a crazy question to ask him. Like, if people were saying this dunk contest like isn't good, but like it was a horrible ending to the night. Like, it was a good night. Like, I agree. I was down on the skills challenge. I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then like you just had the dunk contest, it kind of like ruined the whole thing. But the shooting stars thing, I think that has to come back. That was one of my favorite events when they had it. Especially with the way like basketball is going, where like being able to shoot the ball from basically anywhere on the floor is like so important. I just think like it showcases the game really well, and you get the fun of everybody has to hit that half court shot and whoever hits it first. Like, I thought that event was really cool. You got the WNBA involved. You got some legends involved. Like, that I thought was like the perfect crossover, especially when you were doing NBA 75.
Exactly. Yeah.
All-star game. Like, it was so easy. Everybody was already there. I think that would be cool.
Jordan, who's at Daytona.
He got there for the halftime ceremony, though. I'll give him that. If Bubba had won, I wonder if he would have missed it. I feel like he would have.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be my big change. I think they should bring that one back. And like, you could definitely find a way if you just started it at 7 instead of 8. Like, they started at 8 with the skills challenge, and the skills challenge was long. And so like, if you start at like 7:30 and you did the shooting stars challenge, like, that's not too crazy. I feel like you could still fit everything in.
Yeah, the NBA, they try to do, because I think that they recognize that in terms of culture and, like, you know, celebrities, NBA All-Star Weekend is where it's at. And so they try to provide, like, a full experience in terms of performances and, you know, and obviously, you know, you have the thing with the Currys and their show and trying to make everything just, like, completely interactive and not all about basketball, but that's why everybody's here. So I can see a lane where they go, and one, again, don't ever do a promo like that again. Or two, don't have DJ Khaled up there just yelling and don't have him just, you know, him and whoever song that he produced, you know, performing a song, and you can save 30 minutes right there and put the shooting stars. I promise nobody's going to be upset that it's just a basketball field night. There's enough celebrities walking around. People can see them. You can have something. You already have, like, the introductions of all the players in basically every event. So I think you can have your entertainment in the introductions, and you'll be just fine.
Yeah. Nobody is going. I mean, if you are, I go for it. But who is going to the All-Star game to watch DJ Khaled perform? Like, come on. Nobody. Like, we're here to watch basketball. That's what it's all about. But – sticking with some basketball, some NBA basketball.
Yes.
Second half futures, my guy. Who we like down the stretch of this year? It's been a little crazy. Chris Paul is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken thumb.
That's going to hurt.
So what are we feeling? What do you think down the stretch is your bet?
So I've kind of gone back and forth with this, but I'm going to stick with my pick from the beginning of the season. I think that the Bucks are going to repeat, and they're plus 600 right now. At WinBet to win it all. And I look at the state of the Eastern Conference. You have Philly, who's, you know, who obviously just got James, Brooklyn, who just got Ben. We haven't seen them together yet. They're still going to have to mesh. Chicago still isn't healthy. And like, I'm waiting on Lonzo to come back. I'm waiting on Caruso. Are they going to be able to get into enough of a rhythm to knock off anybody? Miami, as good as Miami is whenever they're healthy, they just started playing together. Mm-hmm. And So that's a little bit of a concern with me. But with the Bucks, they've already been through the grind. They have the best player in the conference, probably in the world. They're sixth in offensive rating. They're top 10 in net rating. They've had a couple stretches this year where they've looked really good. They've also gone through some injuries. So, like, they've tailed off in some points. But I think that Milwaukee, when their big three is healthy, when they're in the playoffs, they're probably going to have home court advantage in, like, maybe the first two rounds, and then might have to go to, you know, to Miami. But I think that they're the most complete team, and they're the only ones who have my trust right now because they've done it already. And even though that Brook Lopez isn't there, Bobby's done an amazing job this season, especially shooting the three and still giving them that spacing on offense. So I think that Giannis, Giannis is the best player in the world, and having that on your team is a huge, huge boost, especially in the Eastern Conference where everything is kind of equal. I think whoever comes out the East, that's not true. I think Milwaukee, Miami, and what I assume Brooklyn is going to be, those three teams will beat whoever comes out the West.
Okay. I don't hate that. I think the thing that worries me about the Bucks, like, I hate that they traded DiVincenzo, man. Like, that I hurts. Really hate that it. Hurts. Like, I think Serge can be a good fit for them if Lopez doesn't come back. But, like, if Lopez does come back, then you just wait. You can't play Lopez, Bobby, and Serge. Like, there's just not enough minutes to go around, especially when they go small ball with Giannis at the five. Like, I don't see the fit there. And, like, of course, Pat Connaughton gets hurt right away. So, like, it's the perfect – you need the DiVincenzo minutes. I think the intriguing thing for them – I know Woj was reporting it this past week – is that they're the front runners for Dragic. So, like, if they get Dragic, I mean, he really hasn't played this year, but I don't hate that as, like, a DiVincenzo-Connaughton replacement right now. I feel like that could work. But you're right. There's a lot of uncertainty in the East. I feel like the Bucks, at least we know what their core can do when they're together from last year. So, like, I like that pick for sure.
Yeah. It's also crazy because there was a point where, like, the big three in terms of Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday, I think, like, in the first 20 games together, they were, like, 18-2 or something crazy like that. Like, they are really good when all three of them are there. And so now we're past the All-Star break. We're in the last 25-ish games of the season. Let's see what happens whenever they turn it on. They start, you know, locking in, getting ready for the postseason, trying to get into the rhythm. But I've thought since the beginning of the year that they're going to make it out the East. And so I just think that, like, at plus 600, they still have a lot of value to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going different award for my future. I'm going MVP. Because the finals, I don't know if I have a great grip on the finals. I think Phoenix is the best team, but obviously losing Chris Paul, they might lose the one seed out of that. And I don't know if I want to play Golden State at home at any point. So,
yeah,
that I'm
going to get Dre back, though.
Yeah, that's true. The Warriors need Draymond. That's exactly that. Like, there's so many injuries / like question marks everywhere where it's like, I'm like, I really don't know who's going to win. I think it's going to be very interesting. It's an intriguing both sides of the conference, both conferences. It's going to be really intriguing down the stretch. But I'm looking at the MVP, and I don't know how you feel about this one. I think Jokic, I think he should be the MVP. I know Joel Embiid's the MVP favorite. Nikola Jokic plus 280, not a ton of value here, but I just think in terms of if we're talking most valuable player, there is no doubt he is the most valuable player to his team in the NBA. This season, the Nuggets with Jokic on the floor per 100 possessions, they're plus 9.7. With him off the floor, they're minus 10.4. So they are a grand total of plus 20.1 net with Jokic on off the floor. They're net rating with him off the floor is worse than the Pistons, who have the worst net rating in the NBA. So without Nikola Jokic, you could make the argument that the Denver Nuggets are the worst team in the NBA. With him, they are the sixth seed in the West right now. And I think the case for Jokic can be made because Embiid and the Sixers, They're making a little bit of a charge, but there's a probably good chance they fall around that 4-5 area in the East. I don't know if they get up to 3, especially with how Cleveland has been playing. Like, I feel like they're kind of like a seed stealer at this point. Jokic and the Nuggets, they're 6th, but they play the 24th easiest schedule the rest of the way, or 23rd easiest schedule, excuse me, the rest of the way. So if they can make a little run here, maybe they get to the 4, they get a home playoff game, which is what happened last year and he won MVP. Even if they get to the 5, I think he has a legitimate case for MVP as long as they avoid the play-in tournament. I just think, like, you look at how they've fared without him this year, like, he is far and away the most important player. The Denver roster is really not good if you take Jokic off that team. No, like, awful. With Jamal and Michael Porter hurt, like, they stink. So the fact that they're like like, they're going to make the playoffs. They're either going to make the play-in or they're going to make the playoffs outright. Like, it's going to happen. So if they can make a little run here with the easier part of their schedule, I think he has a legit shot to win this award.
That's fair. That's fair. And I'll give you that. I'm on the opposite side. I'm on Embiid to win MVP. But, I mean, you're right. Jokic does have, like, this value at plus 280. It's not like we haven't seen somebody win it at the bottom. Russ won it, and they were the 6th seed in 2016, mm-hmm. 2017. Like, I think it was I think everybody understood, like, yeah, if Russ wasn't on this team, they would be, you know, they would be picking in the top 5, and it's kind of the same thing with the Nuggets. I just think with Embiid, they are in contention. Like, they're 2.5 games back, but they're still in contention, in theory, for the number 1 seed.
That's true.
In a Eastern Conference that's, like, loaded. It's so crazy to think that you have Miami, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Chicago, and Cleveland, right? And mm-hmm. one of those teams isn't going to make the second round.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's so – oh, and Philly, right? So you have 6 teams that are legitimately there, so, and 2 of them aren't going to make the second round. That conference is so stacked, and for Embiid to come in – and for them to basically be in the same situation as Denver, where you lose your second best player and you don't have them for a majority of the season. Granted, he has Tobias, but Tobias has been this year.
Yeah.
But he still had them in the running for the number 1 seed in the better conference. That's why I would have Embiid over it. But, like, I'm not hating, you know, on the Jokic, but he's definitely gonna be. I think they're 1-2. And then you can put Giannis as, like, a close third, but those on off numbers are shocking.
It's crazy, dude. It's like the argument I've been making for him the whole year is just, like, they're horrendous when he's off the floor. Like, they can't, like, I don't know how, like, credit to Mike Malone, how he's handled the non Jokic minutes to, like, be able to still win games where it's like, we're going to get killed in the 10 minutes, 15 minutes Jokic doesn't play, but, like, we're still going to win. Like, That's coaching, but it's also just Jokic is just a fantastic player. Like, it was almost my argument for Steph last year of, like, and then they didn't even get out of the play-in. So, like, Jokic was clearly the MVP last year. I'm not saying he was the MVP, but, like, it was the argument for Steph last year was, like, the Warriors were, like, the worst offense in the league when Steph wasn't on the floor last year. And so it's like, okay, I mean, and then they're, like, top 10 when he's on the floor. It's like, that's the value. I just think, like, most valuable player is such a broad term in the NBA where it's like sometimes they give it to the guy who's on the number 1 team and the number 1 seed who's the best mm-hmm. player. And then there's other times it's like, okay, this guy, like, is by far the most valuable player in the league right now in terms of what he does for his team.
Yeah. I think we're too far. I can't stand, though, when people are like, oh, well, technically, like, the definition of valuable, I'm not a huge fan of that because we are so, at least now, because we're so far in to, like, to the NBA and MVP that, like, if it was truly most valuable, LeBron has been playing for, like, 19 years now. LeBron would have, like, 12 MVPs.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
If we were doing that, like, Jordan would have had 10 MVPs, you know, like, it's, we're so far into it. I think that everybody should understand what we're doing with the mm-hmm. With the award, and then just roll with that.
No, yeah, I agree. Let's kick it to best bets, my guy. We got no NBA tonight.
Let's close it out.
Yeah, not ideal with no NBA because we're both NBA guys. But you're looking college basketball, a little ACC action. Who you got tonight?
So, Okay, so this is like a battle specifically right now. This is going to be a battle of bums with Florida with Florida State and Boston College playing against each other. Florida State has lost 7 of 8. They don't look good. We were talking earlier. They've looked like a completely different team since they beat Duke earlier in the mm-hmm. year. But this is kind of more of a fading Boston College spot right now. Right, Boston College is at the bottom of the ACC. They are 14th in the conference in offensive efficiency. They shoot 27% from three, and they have an effective field goal percentage of 44.5%. They're awful on offense. And so even in defensive efficiency in the conference, they're 10th, right, out of 15th. So they are just not a good basketball team. I think that Florida State, they showed a little bit of fight against Duke in their last game. They ended up losing, but they still showed like that they still have some competitive spirit in them. And so I just can't trust Boston College to come out here and beat somebody when you shoot as bad as they do. And so this is really a fade Boston College spot more than I love Florida State tonight. But that's where I'm going.
I like that pick a lot. I like it for sure. I'm going to go to the WCC for my best bet. Looking at San Francisco Dons, big road favorites against Pacific, who's actually won 3 straight home games but only has 8 wins on the year. They've also only covered 5 times all season. So I'm selling high on them, as high as you possibly can sell in this game. And really, this is like a simple handicap for me because San Francisco's been really good this year. They're 21-7, and they've basically handled – everyone in the WCC except for Gonzaga and St. Mary's, which like that's the class of the conference right there. That those are the two teams that they've struggled with. They upset Davidson earlier this year. They hung tough with BYU. Like this is a solid basketball team. I don't know if they make the NCAA tournament just because like this is not really a multi-bid league. Like after Gonzaga and St. Mary's, like I don't know if they could always win the conference tournament, but I don't know if they're able to get in from that. But they're, I think, the third best team in this conference. They're top 100 in points per game and opponent points per game, top 50 in opponent effective field goal percentage. Like this is a really solid basketball team. And Pacific is just, I mean, they're terrible, man. They rank 219 in points per game, 278 in opponent field goal percentage, and they rank 310 in their own in scoring. So like this is just, this team's bad. They're really, really bad. There's a reason they've only won 8 games. I don't love laying the points, like this many points, but it's just such a lopsided matchup. I think San Francisco is easily able to take it.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's this good college basketball league for sure. That's our best bets for Monday. We appreciate you guys hanging with us. Got a little all-star talk in there, a little NBA second half. We will have more for you on Thursday, another episode of Bet and Breakfast at 7 a.m. Again, the new time. You can subscribe here on YouTube. Give us a like and follow us at BetSided on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. We will catch you guys on Thursday, and may all your bets hit.